Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We've been here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 1, which says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." And last time we left off looking at some things related to the Lord Jesus Christ and looking at the issue of Him being the Word and how this has an impact on who we are. As we looked at issues of how it's the Word that produces faith in an individual and how the Lord Jesus Christ revealed things to the Apostle Paul so that way he could complete the Word of God, giving us all of the information that we need to be able to understand the doctrine for this dispensation and also to be able to live the life that God would have us to live. Now, we see how this assembly in Thessalonica understood that they had the information that was the Word of God. If we turn back a couple chapters over to chapter number 2, we see how Paul states the relationship that they had with the Word of God here in verse number 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." It's the word of God that actually does the work in an individual. You know, it's not us doing these things. It's the Word that works to actually cause the change in us. You know, that's why when it talks about the fact that it's the Lord Jesus Christ living in us and through us. So when we're doing the things that are pleasing unto God, it's the Word working out of us. There are some responsibilities that we have related to the Word of God and what we are supposed to do. Let's go over to 2 Timothy, Paul's last epistle. As he's writing to these individuals, you see how he talks about the fact that, you know, all that are in Asia have turned away from him. He starts listing out names of individuals who had been faithful to the doctrine given and shows how they've turn their back on things. He gives in chapter 3 a long discussion about what is going to happen to the body of Christ that's going to lead to the end of this dispensation. And he describes all of these characteristics of what people are going to do as they turn their back farther and farther away from what the Word of God actually says. Now, as he's giving this information, he also lays out and says, here are some of the things that you need to do to prevent this from happening. Let's turn here to chapter number 2, and you see how in verse number 2, he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So the issue of what Paul's bringing up is to take the information, the doctrine that's been given to us, and make sure that other individuals have a good understanding of these things, and a good enough understanding so that they can be able to go out and teach the things of what God's Word says for us today. Because if the next generation is unable to teach these things, what we will see is that the eventual thing is that this message will no longer be taught. And that will be the failure of that generation. And there's going to be a generation where that's going to occur, where individuals will no longer be teaching this truth. That's why you see Paul having to go over and over again to keep giving the information, to keep encouraging Timothy to make sure that he is remaining faithful to what has been given. We're here in chapter number 2. Let's just go down a few verses to verse number 15 to show the responsibility that each individual has related to the Word. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And the responsibility that each individual has is to study the Word of God for themselves. You know, to not be allowing some individual to be doing their study for them. Each individual is to be getting into the Word, studying, comparing Scripture with Scripture to make sure that things are lining up and coming to the understanding of what the Word of God says, and being able to say that this is what I know, and I know it because I have studied it out and I understand what this says. And I understand that this truly is the doctrine that's been given to us today. And that's why you see how Paul gives that understanding of that this is what an individual is supposed to do. And you see how, you know, it talks about rightly dividing. That principle is the fact of understanding that there's information that's written directly to us. So there's doctrine that we can find that applies to my life. And then there's information that's written not to me, that's written to the nation of Israel, either in time past or for the ages to come. And the understanding that I need to have is I need to know exactly what applies to me. And when I have that understanding of what applies to me, then I can make sure that these are the things that I am studying out to make sure that I have that proper understanding. That's what right division actually means. And we know that our apostle is the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans through Philemon, giving us information that we need to apply to our lives. Now, we also know as we study those epistles out that there are things that are written in them that are, you know, don't carry over to today. And when we see those things, the clear thing that we know is when we see those things, the Apostle Paul is giving us the information so that way we can see that this, whatever it is that he's talking about, is no longer going to be in effect. You see that, for example, when it talks about the sign gifts and how Paul gives a clear time frame to where if you see this happen, then we know that those things are no longer in effect. And the time frame that he gives for those is the fact of a completed word of God. Once he writes 2 Timothy, his last epistle, the sign gifts are no longer in effect. We're here in 2 Timothy. Let's turn over to chapter number 4. We're going to turn over to the last part of this last epistle that he's writing here. And chapter 3, he's laid out all of these things of what's going to happen to the church. Now in chapter 4, he's going to give, here is the way that you make sure that these things are not going to happen. We'll pick up here in verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And you see, as Paul's laying out all of these things, you see how he starts with the issue of preach the word. That the word is where the focus actually is. And when we talk about preaching the word, the preaching of the word always starts with the gospel message that's for today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And how someone puts their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. That's the starting point, the foundation of the doctrine. It's the foundation of the word that everything else in this dispensation is built upon that fact. And that's how if a person has understood that, if they have become a member of the body of Christ by putting their trust in that, the word can work in them. And we can see how Paul will talk about the things of what it is that the word actually does for an individual, and how the word can provide, you know, the comfort that individuals need. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we're going to see how Paul's going to describe here as he's writing to this assembly in Corinth. And he's going to give them not only the doctrine of related to this issue of comfort. He's going to talk about, you know, things throughout this epistle of how he needed comfort and how he received comfort from God. Now, here in 2 Corinthians, we're in chapter number 1. We're going to start here, verse number 3. And it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which ye also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Now, one of the things that we learn and understand is that there is no promise for us that we're going to have a, you know, life that's going to be free from any sort of suffering. You know, and individuals will look at things and say, you know, that, well, I can see Israel and how they were talked about that they would be blessed by God, and how, you know, if they were having, you know, problems in their life, it was a sign that they were not following what God's word actually said, that they were had drifted away from things. And so individuals will start taking those promises and start looking at it and saying, you know, that I need to have a life that is free from all of these different types of problems. You know, now we see in Paul's epistles that he does not promise those things. You know, he will talk over and over again about how we're going to have to suffer for his sake. He talks about these various sufferings that are going on, about how we're going to need comfort. And the major difference is that Israel, with their promise and their hope related to the things of the earth, have an earthly hope and promises of the things of being comforted here. The body of Christ, who we are today, you know, we have a promise not of an earthly hope, but we have a promise of a heavenly hope. That's why Paul will talk about how we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We are promised the thing, you know, everything related to us is things related to the heaven, and knowing that we are going to have the suffering that's going to go on while we're living here on earth. And this is why you see, you know, the struggles that unfortunately people have, because they start thinking that they should have a life that doesn't have this suffering. And then they start, you know, getting things where they're blaming God for things that are going on. What God has promised is he's promised a comfort that's going to come unto us. And we see how the comfort comes from the things of the word. We see how the comfort even starts to come from the fact of being around individuals who have the same mindset, who have that same understanding of what God's word says. We can turn over here to chapter number 2, and we see here, we're going to read verses 12 and 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. It says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia." So we see how Paul describing what's going on. He goes into Troas to preach the gospel, to preach this message, a door being opened up to him to where he has that opportunity to preach this message. And you see how he talks about the fact that there was a fact of him having, calls it, no rest in my spirit. That there was something going on with him because Titus wasn't there to minister with him. And Titus, you know, and that's Titus at this time, who was a faithful individual. We know that by the time we get to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we see how Titus had loved this present world and departed from this doctrine. But at this point, Titus is faithful. He's an individual that Paul relied on, you know, to the point of where you can see him describing he had no rest in his spirit. But then by the time you get down to chapter number 7, we see that there's a different thought process that has gone on because there's a change that has occurred. And here in chapter number 7, we're going to read verses 5 through 7. It says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he had told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more." So we see how in chapter 2, as Paul's starting to write this epistle, he's identifying the fact that he had no rest in his spirit because Titus wasn't there. He goes into Macedonia. By the time he gets to Macedonia, Titus has caught up to him. He's there. And Paul identifies the fact that this is a comfort to him. And it was a comfort. And you see how he describes the rejoicing that comes from the fact that he's able to be there with an individual who has this same understanding, who's able to minister with him, to be with someone who's of a like mind. And that's, and we talk about this so many times, of where that's the purpose of where when individuals are coming together as a local assembly, that's one of the things that is supposed to result from it, is that there's a comfort that comes from being with individuals who have this understanding of what the Word of God rightly divided actually means. And that's why you see Paul always trying to do things to build up the individuals, to build up these assemblies, to make sure that they're remaining faithful, remaining true. And how when an assembly starts to drift away from that truth, that you see the results of that happening, of where, you know, there's that thing of not being faithful, what the end results of that is. And we've seen over the last year plus of what the effects that not being able to get together on a regular basis has actually had on members of the body of Christ. You know, there are still assemblies today, unfortunately, that are, you know, still planning for, you know, when they're going to finally come back together to actually, you know, be able to assemble and fellowship together. And, you know, they've lost all of this because, you know, of the fear and everything that has come up related to the pandemic that's gone on. And they've lost that comfort that comes from being around other members of the body. They've lost that comfort from being able to minister together around the Word of God. You know, the ideas of, you know, listening to it like a podcast like this, or watching a message, you know, on Facebook or Zoom or any of those other platforms, you know, it's a thing that, you know, has some impact, but the real impact comes from being able to truly assemble together. Now, we're going to pick up with some of these things next week. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some of the audio files of past messages. We have information on how to join our Sunday service as they're broadcast on Facebook, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.